Well, before I get started, I need to explain that to the people listening at home, Aaron Hankin is on stage in a chair with wings on it and a cocktail glass. It's a party up in here. There's one word that really encapsulates what Christmas means for me. I think all of you are familiar with it. It's four letters. The first letter is an L. The second letter is a vowel. Pat, I want to solve the puzzle. That's right. It's lard. L-A-R-D. Lard. I'm talking that globby, pasty, but oh-so-delicious pig fat that my grandmother cooked with just about every holiday. Bless her soul. It was amazing. Mildred Wilson did not know anything about saturated fat. She had never heard the term triglyceride. She couldn't spell it. And I was so happy for it. The food was amazing. I'm talking, you know, gravy that would make a dead man stand up and lick his lips and ask for some mashed potatoes. I mean, sweet potatoes that made you just forget what year it was. I mean, cornbread, turkey, ham, and every Thanksgiving and Christmas, we would just be about two dozen of the happiest, most well-fed black people you have ever seen. You came hungry. You did not eat breakfast. You didn't even think about lunch. I mean, you fasted all day like a good Christian, and then you ate like a heathen. It was the circle of life. And Granny was so cute because she had this false sense of modesty. You know, she'd kind of lean her head down to the side. And apropos of absolutely nothing, she'd talk about how two straight days in the kitchen had made the house so unbearably hot. But Lord, good Lord, you know, she didn't know how long she had on this earth, but it was all worth it for her family. And how did you feel? You felt guilty the food was so good. I mean, you just dropped to your knees and you'd say, God, I don't know what I did to deserve this, but thank you. And please save an extra big apron for my granny, because when I go to heaven, I'm going straight to her kitchen. I mean, it was you just always looked forward to it. So as you can see, my grandmother was this seminal figure in my life and in my stomach. You know, I just thought that she was just this paragon of patience and long suffering and the artistic use of rendered fat products. until I didn't. I mean, one of the crummy parts of growing up is that you realize that adults are just as screwed up as you are, if not even more so. And I began to see some of those things about my grandmother. I mean, she had a really rough life. She grew up in rural South Carolina. She was separated from her mom. You know, there was talk. She didn't make it past the fifth grade. There was talk that an uncle who was supposed to take care of her molested her. So, I mean, it was pretty grim. And Mildred came on up north, and she grew up to be a party girl. And there are these epic stories of her out in the town and drinking and other. I mean, I was too young to hear this stuff. But somehow, you know, she goes from party girl to church girl. She finds Jesus and eventually decides that everyone who doesn't see things the way she does is probably bound for hell. she was real sweet, my grandmother. And it was sad. So she had five kids, and she had something against my mom, who was the middle child. I think she was intimidated by her or something. But she treated my mom, you know, pretty poorly. She had kind of this cold shoulder thing going on with my mom, which then was transferred to me the year I lived with my grandmother while I was going to college. So, you know, she still cooked for me, you know, and I looked forward to that, but it seemed to be out of some sense of obligation. Like she the woman could barely stand to look at me. I would walk into the room and she kind of look away, and I'm going, what the heck is going on here? It was sad, and I was really saddened by it. I had this really icy relationship with my grandmother. It got so bad that one of my uncles decided to stage an intervention and brought people together. And, you know, she just asked them flat out, so, you know, Granny, your son Frank lived in the same room Lionel does when he went to college, but you treated him really well. What's the difference here? You know what her answer was? She said, very matter-of-factly, Frank is my son. Lionel is a boarder. And it was like one of those, you ever seen like The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, where sometimes Will Smith, he would stop and just like kind of look out at the TV audience? Like, And I was really like that in front of our six family members. And things just got worse and worse until you know, eventually I realized, and it took a long time for me to come to terms with this, but growing up in church like I did, I didn't want to admit it, but she was only the second person in my entire life whom I had ever actually hated. She elicited that kind of response in me, and we just didn't get along terribly well until when she died in 2004. You know, I was at her funeral, but I couldn't have cried if I wanted to, and I didn't want to cry. So it broke my heart, but there was nothing I could do about it. A few years after she passed, only just about a year after she passed away, the epicenter of all of our holidays was her house on Wolf Street. And that house was actually knocked down as part of the East Baltimore Development, Inc. project. So, you know, I still had a lot of negative feelings about my grandmother. But as a few years passed, I started to miss those big family gatherings. And even though I had these negative feelings about her, there was no overlooking the big gaping hole that was her absence in our family. And so my Uncle Frank, he got us together for Thanksgiving on his acre and a half in Harford County. I mean, the place is huge, gorgeous, spacious. I mean, it would justify a riding mower. But he's too modest to go and get one. He likes hard work. He gets, you know, the hand mower. And, you know, there's no kind of bumping into it, literally rubbing elbows with the cousin while you're trying to get the sweet potatoes. But that's exactly the problem. I missed that experience. So it's taken several years, but now, 6 years after the fact, when I think about my grandmother, the first thing that comes to mind is not kind of the cold shoulder and her vindictive Bible quoting, if you can imagine that, but it's the cornbread and the iced tea. And, you know, I don't think I ever heard her say, "I love you," but a few times a year, you could taste it in the food she made. And that's what I think about. But then at this point, I'm just repeating myself because you already knew this. Like I said, she cooked with lard.
Lionel Foster,